Is your mind the same as your brain? That's the topic today on Mind Matters News.
Welcome to Mind Matters News, where artificial and natural intelligence meet head on. Here's your host, Robert J. Marks.
Greetings. There is an ongoing debate about the mind-body problem. Is the mind a part of the physical brain, or does the mind transcend the brain? Our guest today is Dr. Walter Bradley. He's an emeritus distinguished professor at Baylor University, and he was the former professor and mechanical engineering head at Texas A&M University. Beyond this, Dr. Bradley needs no introduction. He's the namesake for the Walter Bradley Center for Natural and Artificial Intelligence. Dr. Bradley, welcome.
It's my pleasure, Bob.
Great. Hey, before we begin our discussion, let's talk about the impact of worldview in pursuing truth. You have shared with me a deposition that you had with an ACLU attorney that asked you kind of some snide questions. And I think that your answer to this snide question, or one of the snide questions, sets the table nicely for our talk on the mind-body problem. Could you tell us about that? What's the circumstances where you were deposed? Were you under oath? They put you under oath? And you had a little court reporter there taking all the notes and things, right?
Yes.
Okay. So what happened? What was the circumstance for that?
I was invited to be a witness in one of the early cases having to do with what can be taught in public schools. And it was in the early stages of this that the ACLU, who had brought a lawsuit dealing with probably Louisiana or Arkansas, I don't remember, probably Louisiana. But anyhow, the question had to do with how can I be objective? And the guy who was doing the deposition was actually the head of the ACLU.
So the president, the CEO?
Yeah, that was my understanding. And he was a pretty arrogant guy. His first question right out of the box was to ask me, if I was a Christian. I said, yes, you believe in God, I do. And then he said, well, then how can you possibly be objective as a scientist? Anybody who believes in God can't really be an objective scientist. And I said, well, quite to the contrary, I can be objective because for me it's only a question of how God did it, not whether he did it. He could have done it in a patterned way, what we call the laws of nature. He could have done his work in an extraordinary way, what we call miracles. And when I'm studying through the eyes of science, I can sort of infer which of these is more likely. I think the real problem is for the person who's an atheist. And in that case, no matter what the data says, he's going to conclude one way or the other that it had to have been undirected forces of nature that was ultimately responsible for all of the amazing things that we see in the natural world. And it seems to me that he can't possibly be objective because he's already decided a priori that there isn't a God, and this had to be a product of nothing more than natural processes that occur in nature. And even those, how do you explain where they came from? He was quite taken aback by that, but he quickly moved on to other questions because I think he realized that he'd really stepped into a big pile of you-know-what.
Yes, I do know what you mean. Yeah, I actually saw a talk where somebody was reflecting exactly what you said. They said basically materialists and naturalists have already decided what science is.
Yeah.
And the only thing that you can do now is to fill in the details.
Yeah, it's a priori assumptions about the conclusions.
Yeah.
And then that we'll torture the scientists, the scientific data, until it confesses what we want it to.
Right. The old expression I learned from Gary Smith, if you can torture data long enough, it will confess to anything.
Yes.
So the question is how does this relate to the mind-body problem? It seems to be if you're a materialist, that kind of puts you in a silo in terms of interpreting the mind-body problem. Well, first of all, could you explain what the mind-body problem is?
Well, I think people are in two different camps with regard to whether we're monist or deist. And some people believe that we simply are a physical body. The things that are thoughts and so forth are somehow nothing more than the product of mere physical processes. And there's no place for any presumption or even possibility of there being more than just a physical body. Deist believes that there's a physical body, but they also believe that that body is inhabited by a non-material spirit that can act independent of the body, although the body is where it resides and it does many things through that. I like to use the analogy of the body is like a piano and I'm the pianist. Now, the piano cannot make music on its own. It can't do anything. But the pianist can use the piano to make all kinds of music. And somebody who didn't realize there was a pianist might simply assume that the piano somehow is a beautiful instrument that plays all of this wonderful music, when in reality, it's not ultimately responsible. It's simply the means by which the pianist is able to express himself. And I think that that's really the difference between what people who are atheists believe, that we're simply matter, nothing more, nothing less, and there's no such thing as a soul or a spirit. All of our thoughts and so forth are really explainable in terms of different kinds of activities that go on in the brain, and it's all biochemical. There's no difference between love and acid indigestion. They're both chemical processes at a fundamental level.
I think I can differentiate between the two myself.
Well, I agree, but if you really believe what an atheist believes, there is no such real thing as love. It's simply one biochemical reaction that's going on in my brain for some reason. And the idea of some altruistic kind of loving experience is inexplicable. In the deist view, we would say, well, of course, love is a sensation that I can experience that is not just a physiological manifestation of some sort, but is really the consequence of a spirit, a soul, whatever you want to call it. There's several different categories here, and people have different ideas, even within the Christian faith, about how to define those precisely. But they're common in the sense that they believe there is something non-material that is crucial in me as a person, and my body is the instrument through which that spirit or soul expresses themselves, much like the pianist and the piano.
I have read in C.S. Lewis basically what you have explained in terms of the pianist playing the pianos. He talks about a materialist position that we are guided by herd instinct. Why do we do good? We do good because it lets the herd live longer. And he points out that we are not guided by our strongest instincts, that we have these instincts, but we also have the ability to rise above those instincts and make decisions on which of those instincts is the right thing to do or not. And we might not even choose the strongest instinct. So it is the analogy. So that's his explanation of the analogy of a pianist playing a piano is just spot on. So we have the mind-body debate, and I have heard the distinction between the two referred to as monism and dualism, the monist believing that the brain is exactly the same thing as the mind. It was physically limited, and therefore materialists would say that we have to be monist. Dualism believes that there is the mind above and beyond the body. Based on your response to the ACLU attorney, it seems that materialists and naturalists can only prescribe to monism. You agree. I think that that's what you said.
And they would agree.
They would agree.
Yeah, sure they do.
What evidence is there for dualism outside of the philosophical debate? I know the mind-body debate has been going on for quite a while. but it seems to me that it's primarily in the area of philosophical debates. So what is, do we have any physical evidence that indeed dualism is true?
I think that it's been more of a philosophical argument until about the last 50 years.
Okay.
Because the challenge is to say what happens, what lives on beyond the grave. If in fact that we have a body and a soul, and if the soul exists even as the body has died, that's a question that's been difficult to pin down in some empirical way. I think what's happened with the development of modern technology is that the possibilities of really exploring that have gotten dramatically better. And why the advancement of medical technology? Because probably the easiest way to see that there is a body and a soul is for somebody to die, stay dead for some period of time, and come back to life. Now, you can't really stage that, okay, under normal circumstances. But what happens, and it happens frequently today, is that we have emergency rooms in every major hospital across the world, really. And when people die there, we need to define what we mean by die. But I think the common definition in the emergency room is no brainwave, no heartbeat. So if somebody has no brainwave and no heartbeat, then they're pronounced dead. Now, does that mean they're permanently dead? Well, what they do in the hospital, they talk about doing resuscitations. And the whole idea of a resuscitation is using electric shocks and other techniques to try to get that heartbeat started up again. And then with the circulation of blood, to have that brain begin to function again, and so forth. And so the possibilities for having people experience this dualistic phenomenon of having a physical body that is dead, but recognizing they still have a consciousness. They still have a capacity to see, to observe, to experience, much like they did when they were in their body, but in a much more enriched way. At least these are the tales that people tell.
And that's what we're going to talk to on subsequent episodes of Mind Matters News.
Yes.
So, Dr. Bradley, thank you. We've been talking to Dr. Bradley, who is the namesake for the Walter Bradley Center for Natural and Artificial Intelligence. And until we talk some more to Dr. Bradley, be of good cheer.
This has been Mind Matters News with your host, Robert J. Marks. Explore more at mindmatters.ai. That's mindmatters.ai. Mind Matters News is directed and edited by Austin Egbert. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the speakers. Mind Matters News is produced and copyrighted by the Walter Bradley Center for Natural and Artificial Intelligence at Discovery Institute.